Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today, and you are in for a blessing. God have a blessing for you on today. We're going to be talking about today the sovereignty of God and the relevancy in the life of the children of God. And so on today, we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture from Jeremiah. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would just get your Bible and turn with me over to Jeremiah, chapter number 32, verses number 16 through 25. And I'm going to read that in your hearing. And it reads on this line. Now, when I have delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompenses the iniquity of the father into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all ways of the Son of Man to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day in Israel, among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, and with strong hand, and with stretched out arm and great terror, and has given them this land which the Lord did swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, and they obeyed not the voice, neither walked in thy law. They had done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. And behold, the mouths that are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence, which and what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. So far, the reading of the scripture on tonight. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at the sovereignty of God and how that the sovereignty is expressed, the nature of God as being all-powerful and omnipotent and able to accomplish his good pleasure and carry out his decree and his will and his holy promise. And so God is going to carry those things out in your life that have already been established for this set time. This is the year 2008. God is going to do some phenomenal things in your life, child of God. And you must recognize as you position yourself and accept and start agreeing with the sovereign will of God, God is going to take you and literally propel you forward into the things that have already been established in the earth, in the universe. Your feet and your steps are going to be ordered aright by the counsel and the blessings of the Lord. I hear the word of the Lord speaking to your heart on tonight. The blessings of the Lord is going to make you rich, child of God, and is not going to add no sorrows in your life. I don't care what you're facing even on tomorrow. God want me to speak a word to your spirit even before I get into the lesson, that no weapons formed against you is going to prosper. You must sit in the spirit of expectancy and expecting that God is going to do it. Yes, it could be perplexing in your mind, even right now. How am I going to come? How is this thing going to come to pass? How is it going to pan out? What way is going to come? What door is going to open? What I need to do? Right now, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, just as you offer up praise unto God in your spirit and confessing out of your mouth that God is going to work things out for your good, and that God is working while you're yet praising him and giving him the glory, because God is sovereign. Who can overthrow the hand of the Lord? Who can abort the will of the Lord for your life? I hear God saying for me to share with you on tonight, take courage. Be encouraged that God is going to bless you. Let us focus in here. Let's take a moment and let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and 15. Which in his time he shall show who is blessed, and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Here Timothy is denoting and speaking of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. We're going to look at that on tonight, but let's look at the passage of scripture in which we laid out for tonight, and this is where our text is going to be coming for on tonight, about Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet, that one that was crying and lamenting for the children of Israel, how his heart was broken as he seen the children of Israel not reverencing God and going whoring after other gods and not esteeming what God has doing and was doing in their life, and they have been carried off into captivity. And so let's hear, look here. It said Jeremiah's prayer, it revealed a completely different relationship between the Creator and the creation. King Zedekiah had placed the prophet in prison for foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem. And so here we find the inhabitants of Jerusalem deemed in destructive because they their God had entered a relationship with them and promised that his relationship would never end. So here we find the prophet finds himself alone and in a dangerous place and facing the execution and exile. And sometimes, if I may stop here for just a moment, sometimes we may find ourselves in an isolated place. It seems as though that sometimes circumstances in our life has caused isolation, and you're wondering, Lord, how did I get into this situation, and why am I here? Well, sometimes isolation can be a blessing to the children of God. Sometimes God has to cut things off and out of our way so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church, because sometimes things come to distract us. To clog out our hearing, and so that we cannot even hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church. And so here the prophet found himself in prison. And I could imagine in his mind could have been perplexed at that particular time. And he found himself that he was silenced. And so the Bible said that Jeremiah, it came to a point in time, even in his ministry, that he didn't want to proclaim the word of the Lord anymore. And he came to a place in his life that he became so frustrated of the condition of the people of God that he became so perplexed, where the Bible said that he didn't even want to preach the word again. And so sometimes we can become so perplexed in our spirit by what we see. Don't they get it? Don't they understand what God is speaking unto their heart? And it seems sometimes like even futile to even continue on being that voice and repeating the same thing over. But God don't want the children of God to get discouraged or to give up or throw in the towel. And so here, Jeremiah, he found himself in a very perplexing place. And the Bible said that the word of God became like fire. And it began to be shut up in his bone. Have you ever had some aching that went on in the bone and thing? It just seemed like it was something that you just can't get to, and it was just like an aching on the inside. And so here it is, the fire, the word of God began to just burn in the bones of Jeremiah, that he couldn't sit still. He couldn't hold back on what God has called him to do on propelling them forward. And sometimes, child of God, you know, sometimes we sit back. But sometimes that word of God comes and cut us. And it comes and begin to burn down in our spirit where we can no longer hold back on the things that God is speaking in us to speak for. And so we must be obedient to the word of the Lord and speak for. I hear, you know, don't even worry about what they look like. And you must speak forth the word of the Lord, child of God. When God tells you and call upon you to speak, you can't be backing up and be intimidated by the faces of men and the opinion of men, but you must speak forth the word of the Lord. And the acceptable years of salvation unto the people of God, we must still yet bind up the brokenhearted and set the captive free, those that are captive at liberty, and setting them free by speaking forth the word of the Lord. Now, it may not be popular. You may not win popularity contest. You may be even come ostracized, but speak it anyway. And things, because in so doing, you're setting that soul free. Amen. Shout out the boy. I feel like shouting right there. And things, because the adversary don't want you to speak, but we must speak. And things as never before. And so here, while Jeremiah was in prison, he performed a symbolic act that affirmed God's promise for the future. He purchased a field in his hometown and sealed the record for a time when God was going to restore his beloved country. And so sometime where we at, God put things in our hand. And those things that he gives unto us may not be for that season and time right there. But as you hold on to it, it's going to speak. It's going to come a time that God is going to bring that thing forth. You may have been penning and writing sermons out, and God may have been coming unto you, and you've been writing things down, and you begin to think, no, man, God is just really speaking. When am I going to bring out these things? But it's for a set time, and it's for a set purpose. So don't get weary in well-doing, because God don't want you to faint, because God set time. God's going to bring you forth. And all of those things that you have been writing and penning down on the other side of the mountain, it's going to come forth at the acceptable time. It's going to be meet in due season unto the hearer of God's people. And so here, let's take a look at this. God is sovereign in everything that he does, even in our lives. Sometimes we think about all of the tests and the trials that we have gone through in our lives. I believe everything that we have gone through in our life, even in our childhood, it all is going to come for the purpose of ministry, that is going to cause us to propel the gospel forward. Yes, all that craziness. All that hell you've gone through. Yes, all that people have lied on you, and even when you have been stabbed in your back, and even when you have been the dagger of the adversary have came in up under your fifth rib. Yes, all those things are for the good and to help propel the gospel forth to be you become a better man or a woman of God or a child of God to do and execute the will of the Lord. Ah, Shia, come on, you can just clap your hand on that. The Bible said, or the cliche goes, don't wait till the battle's over. You can shout now. Don't wait till it's over, because when you're on the mountaintop, they're going to talk about you. When you're in the valley, they may not be by yourself, but that does not mean that we retreat or back up. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I believe God for this set moment having me to speak a word into your spirit tonight, because you need to get back on the wall and get back and do the work and the will of the Lord. Don't retreat. This thing didn't come in your life to overthrow you, but it came to make you and to birth character into you, tenacity into your spirit, boldness into your heart to execute the will of the Lord. So let's look at the sovereign things of God on tonight and how it relates in our lives. The first chapter of the book of Genesis provides the scripture foundation for the Bible and for all of our daily lives as well. By God's very word, he has created everything from nothing and formed the foundation for the rest of history. Now, God told me to tell somebody tonight that he can speak a word and your situation can take off into a totally different direction. He can even just think on you, and things got to change. And so we as children of God, we must be faithful to the praises of our God and showing forth in the praises. That's why David over in Psalms 34 said that I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And when you allow the praises of God to continually to be in your mouth, it has just created an atmosphere for the miraculous power of God to exude in and through in your life. It said from the smallest particle to the vast galaxy, all of this declares the glory of their creator. In addition to the creation of land and light, God brought forth life and gave each life a form, the limit power to create after its own kind. Acting by his own will and design, God did not ask for advice or permission to bless you. And no, God will not ask for advice or permission to bless you. It's his will to give you the kingdom and to bless you. As he created all things that exist, he set guidelines for them to continue to sustain all that he had made. For example, he did not give the tree authority to change its purpose or products. It had no choice but to fulfill its creator's design. And so it is with God, as with children of God, as we as children of God. We are going to produce that which God has ordained us to produce as we begin to line our lives up with the sovereign will of God. How, Pastor, how do you do that? Pastor Helen, how can we line our life up with that? Well, what we have to do as children of God, we must come into agreement with God and begin to tell God, God, I agree with your will for my life. I agree with what you have already ordained and purpose in your heart and mind for my life to do, and the purpose and my identity is your sovereign will. And first of all, God, I agree with that. And next, what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend time with you, God. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to seek your heart and mind. I'm going to line my life up with the word of God. I'm going to engage. I'm going to spend time in prayer with you, God. I'm going to sit at the portals of heaven, at the gates of heaven, coveting your heart and your mind. I'm going to be just like Mary, who chose the better part, to sit at your feet. And when we begin to make those choices in our lives and make those things our priorities in our lives and begin to allow our character to be shaped around the image of God and take on the image and his attributes and being people of integrity, being people of faithful and things and begin to allow these characteristics to be manifested in our lives. And then God will begin to birth forth his sovereign will in our lives because we came into fellowship. The things that he asked us to give up, and we begin to wrestle with those things. We begin to go back into the garden of our Gethsemane and begin to say, God, oh, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. And when you're struggling even with those things that you don't want to give up, well, you can be saying, God, if it be possible to let this cup pass. But nevertheless, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And as we begin to pray and ask that unto God, God will bless you and strengthen you in and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at another element here. God created all things. God sent Jeremiah to confront the evil king to whom he had given the authority to perform his order behavior. And so you'll find that over in Jeremiah 27 and verses 1 through 5. The claim on those kings over 2,500 years ago is the same claim that holds all creation together today. The fact that God created and controls all things is very important and is still relevant for today. We must recognize that God is in control of everything. I mean, absolutely everything. God is in control. That's why we need to render over our marriages, render over our finances, render over our relationship with our children and relationships on the job, relationship with our siblings and things, and just say, Lord, I decree you Lord over all. You're Lord over my thoughts. You're Lord over my heart. You're Lord over my mind. You're Lord over my marriage. You're Lord over my health, life, and strength, my finances. You're Lord over everything. And when you begin to decree and to declare out of your mouth and proclaim that God is Lord of all, you're saying, God, you can be sovereign over my life. Amen. And then you'll begin to agree into the will of the Lord where he wants to take that place. Now, see, the Spirit of the Lord, he's like a gentleman. He's not going to violate your will or your volition. It's your volition. It's your right to come into relationship with God. You don't have to come in relationship, but you want to begin to verbalize, Lord, you can be Lord over Lord. Oh. My behavior, my thought patterns, my agenda, my goals, and my ambitions, my dream. You're Lord over all. And when you begin to declare that, you are positioning yourself in relationship with God. Let's look here. It said, perhaps we should consider all of the creative action that human beings have performed over the last 500 years. What society deemed as science fiction just a half a century ago is now commonplace technology that our elementary school children can handle. All of the humanity effort to understand or even order these worldly things have discovered. Look at the technology today. Even God is Lord over that. Look at, he said it, that the gospel was going to go around the world. It's going to be preached to all creatures. And look at, God is making ways through even technology that his sovereign will be done. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in this eye that I can connect, that God's people can connect via the internet because his word is going global. It's going throughout the world. Amen. And so here he's going to sustain even all things. He's going to sustain your life. And so stop worrying about what's going to take place and what's going to happen once you get there. You put that responsibility back on God. It's his responsibility to sustain you. It's not your responsibility to sustain God, but God is going to sustain you, child of God. And I want you to hold fast to that, that God is in control of your life. Oh, yes, he is. Every time you acknowledging him first, you're seeing God just sovereign over my life. Whenever a situation pop up in your life, you just put God, acknowledge God first. You're saying, God, you're sovereign and in control even of this crazy stuff that is going on in my life, even right now. I acknowledge your sovereignty because you are in control of this. Even though it looked chaotic, even though it looked like it's coming from the hand of the adversary, but you're in control, God. And so when you begin to place God in his sovereign place over all things, even in that craziness, even when the Goliath is coming up against you, even the Hittites and the Jebusites that come up against you and say, God, you're sovereign, I acknowledge you as my battle, like I allow you as my fortress, my shield, and my buckler, because you're going to sustain me and things to do your sovereign will. Let's look at the sustaining power of God. By observing God's creation, we can only begin to understand his unlimited power. God continues to sustain and maintain all his creative work by his own power. When creation and even corporations and churches and educational institutions build new buildings, they budget a percentage of their income to building maintenance, to postpone repairs during difficult times, only create more expense in the future maintenance costs. Family, too, must sustain and maintain their cars, their home. They're only by a limited life expectancy, because if these things are not being maintained and sustained, they can break down. And so it is. God comes to sustain the world by that same power in which he created through his word. And so wherever God sends you, whatever God calls you to do, whatever your assignment is, God's sustaining power is going to sustain you, maintain you, enable you to accomplish and to execute his sovereign will. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Shalalaboshe. He is going to do it. So you stop looking at how you're going to do it and begin to look to the hill from which cometh your help. God, who is going to sustain you, you've got to put your trust and confidence back into the sustainer of life. Ah, yes, he's God. Yes, he's creator, but he is your sustainer as well. I feel a shout right there. I can feel you right there. I even feel the smile on your face that you don't have to keep worrying about how you're going to sustain yourself. God don't want you to worry about that. Stay in the vine. He's going to sustain you. Do the things you know you need to do. Stay on that job. Keep moving. Keep doing the things that you need to do. God's going to sustain you. He's going to provide for you. Let's look here. Through his word, he's going to sustain us. You can go back to Hebrew 1, verses number 3. And it's going to let you know this whole world is established upon the word of the Lord and is being framed and sustained by the word of the Lord our God. And so it is with our lives. Our lives are literally being sustained by the word of the Lord. That's why God said, you know, if you abide in me and I abide, and my word abide in you, you can ask anything and it shall be done of the Father. Why? Because the sustaining creative power is abiding in you. And so when you speak, God is speaking, because God is, you're speaking the word of the Lord out of your mouth. The Bible said he watched over his word to perform it. So the more you speak the word, the more God is going to perform it on your behalf. Amen. So you got to get the word down in you. That's why this is the word of empowerment. That's why we want to look at the broken manna of God, the broken bread, and break it down so that the people of God can speak the word, be sustained by the word, kept by the word, live by the word, move by the word, have your beings by the word of the Lord. Oh, come on and just shout hallelujah. When you start talking about it, something about just talking about the goodness of the Lord, it just make you want to shout hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And so here, let's look at the sustaining power of God who sustained all things. He sustained each star, each planet, the moon, the ocean, life form, every cell to keep the world in their maintain from keeping it from its self-destruction. God is sustaining it. Have you ever been to the ocean and just seen how the water just come in just so far, the tide? Well, see, guess what? It is controlled just to come up so far and then just to go right on back out. And then it'll come back in, and then it just will flow right back on out and things, because it has already have been given its authority how far it can come in. And so it is with our test. Nothing's going to overthrow the child of God. The Bible said that he was going to warn his prophet. He's going to warn his friend, and that test can only do so much in our lives. It may be carving out and forming in us temperance, forming in us the things that he's calling us to do. And he's doing those things in our lives. And so let's look at another thing. The child of God, we must recognize that the system of thought, the task of human is to uncover the universal law and live by them. All by the power of human reason. That's what the humanity is saying. But we know that it's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We live and have our being. It said, although God created human reason to be a powerful tool, he did not give it authority to sustain humanity or any of the rest of his creation. Only he can sustain and things in and through his life. And we thank God for that. Let's look at another thing here about the sovereignty of the power of God. Isn't it good and isn't it joy to know that if God give us a vision, that he's going to make the provision and recognize that he's going to bring the things that you need right to you, and things, the doors are just going to open unto you and things, because if he give you the vision, he's going to make those provisions for you. Let's look at that for just a minute. The sovereignty of God in his provision unto the child of God. Has it ever been that, you know, you got down to your last penny, you went to work, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, in the break room with some sandwiches and some chips and some different things, and you didn't have lunch money? Look at God, how God provide for you and things, and open up that door and things. And we can look at so many profound ways of how God is divinely providing and sustaining and keeping his people. You went back to that coat that you haven't put your hand in that coat, and lo and behold, there's a $10 bill that you misplaced, and all of a sudden, at that set time when you didn't think you had any more money, and you said, oh God, what I'm going to do, God said, just go to that old coat that you put away for the winter, and just he just laid it in your heart, just go get that coat, and you just put it on. You don't know why you put it on, but all of a sudden, you put that coat on, and lo and behold, right there in that coat is $20 and things, just enough that you need. He is a provider. Day by day, manna, he is providing quail, even in our wilderness places. God has said, you can still yet eat. And guess what? Many times we can just go to our cabinet. It may not be what we want to eat that night or what we have a taste for, but there's always been food on our tables, always clothes on our back. Always a provision, a way out of no way. Somebody come out, I just want to take you to lunch today. And lo and behold, boom, there it is. God said, I'm blessing you. This is my hand, child. while you eating, biting into that steak, and you kind of like thinking, and God is saying, oh, this is me. I love you just that much. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm right there with you, child of God. Let's look here and see. God's sovereignty and his provisional relationship with creation is ongoing only because he continued to sustain it. We observe God's provision in creation as he's guiding it towards his own purpose. And we must recognize that God is constantly guiding us and directing our path. Have you ever turned down the wrong street and you're kind of like, Lord, how did I get here? Well, guess what? You probably would have never, ever turned down that street. But now God said, I want you to turn down that street because there's a blessing down that street. And things, there's going to be something there that you never seen before that God said, lo and behold, that's a new way that you can take. And things, because God is indeed in blessing you. Yes, God is aware of everything that take place, and he carefully guiding his creation and guiding his people so that it can fit in his overall purpose. Even some of you have relocated and moved, and sometimes you may walk in your house and say, now God, why am I here? Why am I in this neighborhood? Well, we must recognize, you got to recognize that it's for purpose. It's God's purpose. It's God's will that you are there where you at right now. It's God's will for you to be even on the radio on tonight, tuned in tonight, because God wants you to know that he loves you and that you bless. You may say, I already know that he loves me. But he wants you to know the sovereignty in your life, of his sovereign will for your life. Amen. Let's look. The psalmist had provided a great psalm when he began to break out and talking about how God is in control. If you'll find it over in Psalm 104, verses number 5 and verse number 9, it said, indeed, God controls and sustains everything from the cloud to creatures of the seas and the land. The psalmist realized that God set the boundaries of the waters and the oceans and the rivers. All of these things are serving his purpose as they are flowing where he directs them. Their purpose for watering the fields and the beasts is much higher than our own recognition of their beauty and enjoyment. How it is just sustaining. And when we can look at this beautiful place even in the Northwest, it's such a beautiful plush place of beautiful greenery. And we can just see, because it rains so much, but God is just keeping it looking nice and plush and beautiful. And we can see the beauty of the Lord. And sometimes we wonder why God, when things, problems and stuff is kind of raining down in our life. Well, guess what? When people begin to look upon your life, they're going to see the beauty and the plushness of the anointing and the presence of God oozing and exuding through your face and glowing through your life. Because yet all of that craziness and all of that hell that is coming in and through your life, but God said, I'm just going to rain down on you. And let the glory of the Lord just flow through your life. So when they look upon you and you're going through all that hell, they're going to see the glory of the Lord smeared all over your face, smeared all over your smile and all in your hair and all in your clothes. The smell of the glory of the Lord is just exuding through your life. Because of the love of God. We must recognize, child of God, that God is in control of everything in our life, even though when it seems crazy, even when our mind is in perplexity, God is still working it out for our good. And once you recognize that and see the hand of the Lord, you're going to be saying, oh, my God. When you look back in your life and you're going to say, oh, my God, God was there all the time working it out. Right when I thought I was fighting by myself, right when it seemed as though I couldn't even feel the presence of the Lord, God was there working all alone and doing it on your behalf. Let's look at his work. Let's look at something about Apostle Paul. Paul addressed his hope for his fellow Jews in the letter to the Romans. And you can see that over in Romans 10, verses number 1 down to verse number 21. Paul desired that salvation would come to all of Israel. He knew them to be zealous towards God, but they lived in zeal designed or defined by the misunderstanding, rather by the knowledge of God. And you'll find that over in Revelation Romans chapter number 10, verse number 2. They did not know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the entire law. And Paul believed that they lacked two major understanding required to gain salvation. Number one, in Romans 10 and 9, the acknowledging of the lordship of Jesus and believing that he rose from the dead. And so they lacked those two things, and they wasn't able to see and understand the relevancy of Jesus in his time and even in our time now. And yes, some do believe and some are saved. Some have given their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what was going on in Paul's day. And so here we find that these two elements were necessary for all people who wanted to receive salvation. Surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ called for one to reform their behavior and align their life with God's righteousness. And that's what Pastor Arms was talking about early on, is that when we come into that relationship and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to have lordship of our lives and things, we are coming into and conforming and reforming our behavior into the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we begin to come and allow our life to be conformed into the world. And the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And many times, sometimes we live in the baser level, the good thing or the acceptable thing. But God sometimes is calling. He don't want us to stay at those two levels. He wants us to move to the perfect will of God. You know, some things people say, oh, this is the acceptable. I can accept this. But is that the perfect will of God? And so God wants us to continue to ascertain to the perfect will of God. Now, every day I get up, Lord, I want to move into your perfect will. I want to denounce every deceit, every lie of the adversary that he's perpetrating in and through my life and trying to accuse me. I denounce all those things that I may walk in God's perfect will. Let's look here. And things that it was even on the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus proclaimed the truth of that all Christians have to prove their own life. One cannot serve two masters, whether they're going to love the one or they're going to hate the other. The early church had a simple creed that identified them as the people of God. In proclaiming the phrase, Jesus is Lord, they denounced all other alliances as they honestly sought to fulfill Jesus' direction for their life each day. And so when we begin to say Jesus is Lord over our life, over our finance, sometimes we need to just get our wallets out and things and the credit cards and get the money out, the dollars, even the coin, and begin to just look at the money and begin to prophesy over that wallet and begin to say, wallet, every piece of that money, Jesus is Lord over that. And watch that money go out and serve you instead of you serving the money, trying to make ends meet. No, the money's supposed to serve you. The Lord have need of it. It is the Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord over our money. And so once we begin to put Jesus as Lord over our money, over our health, life, and strength, you're going to see some miraculous things take place even in your life. He'll be able to bring forth that corn out of the fish's mouth on your behalf because you renounce all alliances to everything else and lining up your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Caesar's was not Lord. The rituals was not Lord, or self was not Lord, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. They had found a Lord who could both save and direct their life, and he was their sovereign God. They chose to identify with him in everything that they did. This is why Paul declared, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And so here it is, every day we need to declare and decree that we are indeed the Lord, and the Lord is our God. And so we can't allow, child of God, the adversary to begin to back the children of God up into the wall and intimidate you with fear and unbelief, because you need to declare when you find yourself in that perplexed place, begin to say, Jesus is Lord over me. Jesus is Lord over this situation. I put Jesus as Lord over this situation. Yes, whatever it is, it may be even your house and things that the adversary is fighting up against. You need to declare Jesus is Lord over this. This is God's house. God gave me this. And Jesus, he said he makes us rich and add no sorrow. Jesus gave me this. This is a no sorrow blessing. It's not going to bring sorrow to me in that car that I drive. It's not going to bring sorrow to me in that door that God has opened unto me, because this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my eyes. And once you begin to declare what it is unto you, that this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in your eyes. And so as we considering the sovereign call to worship him, and to surrender to his design and to be faithful and faithfully serve his purpose in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we realize that the call to live up under the lordship of Jesus Christ is the result of God's sovereignty. In all creation belongs to the Creator. He sustained all things. Unfortunately, people in the 21st century, they worship and serve creature more than the Creator, as did those in the first century. And so as we live in as our lives being sustained and redeemed by the Lord, it's a wonderful experience as we align our lives with our created purpose that God has already created. And one of the most honorable things that we can do, and one of the things that I get so excited about, is that we have access unto God, where we can go to him, and we have total access unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He has broken down the middle wall of partition, and we have access unto God. And once we begin to walk into the throne room of God and begin to talk unto God, don't you know things have to come back into alignment? You can pray for your nation, and your nation is your nieces and your nephew, your cousin, and boo-boo, and all of them. You can pray for your whole nation and things that God can turn things around and things, because you dare to trust in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have made him King of kings and Lord of lords in your life, and given him freedom and liberty to sustain you, to provide for you. And sometimes we need to let go and let God. God, every day, Lord, you are my sustainer. You are my provider. And Lord, I acknowledge you that you are going to sustain and keep me in every situation. And as we declare those things over our lives, in the life of our children, you're going to see the hand of the Lord. Even Abraham, he recognized that, because God had made a covenant with him. He said that here at the Bible, it let us know that in the book of Genesis, it recounts the beginning of God's everlasting covenant with Abraham. even in the early stages of relationship, the covenant was unilateral. It revealed what God would do for Abraham as his descendant became a great nation in a great land. This great nation would become God's means of restoring relationship unto all humanity. Many three things threatened the covenant and hence the enjoyment of God's promise. Abraham and Sarah, when they were barren, God brought forth the child and things because of the covenant. And Abraham also made a covenant with God that demonstrated his responsibility in the relationship. And so as we begin to make that covenant with God, that's demonstrating that I'm in relationship. I'm in covenant relationship with God. I vow to do your will, Lord. I vow to be faithful unto you and to bless your holy name. On the mountaintop, I'm going to praise you. In the valley, I'm going to praise you. Back up against the wall, Lord, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to praise you and I'm going to give you the glory and the honor unto your blessed name. So, child of God, it is God's sovereign will to bless you. It is God's sovereign will to sustain you. Even as you look at the moon and the sun and the elements even in the sky, they serve as a reminder that God is working on the behalf of his people and that he is going to sustain and he is going to keep you, child of God. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what the doctor has said. I don't care. It may be incurable, but all things are possible to him that believeth. All God wants you to do is supply him with your faith. Our faith is currency. It's our money in heaven. When we supply God with our faith, it's like going to the store with our American Express card or our Visa or our MasterCard. It's like that in heaven because what we're doing is supplying our faith before God. And God honor faith. He said he was going to reward them that diligently seek him. Girl, you got a reward coming for you. God have a reward for you. And it's on its way. God is going to bless you beyond measure and things. And all going to know that this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Who can refute the hand of God? Who can bind up your blessing? Who can stop God from blessing you? God's already ordained it in heaven. It's already written. The angels are on this way to perform it and bring it to pass. You're on your way to step into that destiny that God has for you. This is your year. This is the day that the Lord has made, and you can rejoice. When the enemy want to come in like the flood, I hear the Bible say the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard against the adversary. The name of the Lord is a strong power, and the righteous can run in it and be saved. Run into the name of the Lord. There's safety there. There's power there. There's anointing there. There's a word of rhema there. There's even refreshment and redemption in the name of the Lord. Child of God, we're going to get ready to close. This is good. I've been blessed. And I pray that you have been blessed too. I just love all of the beautiful remarks and response that are coming forth on this evening. But I want you to know this is your best year. It may have started out crazy and chaotic and stepping, because this is a new beginning and it just seemed like all hell has broken loose in the year of 2008. But guess what? It's just the adversary trying to distract you from the true blessings of the Lord. You stay faithful to church. You stay faithful to Bible study and to the word of the Lord and things. And God's going to bless you. And you may say, well, you know, because of your job, it keeps you from the house of the Lord. Well, you come on and join Pastor Orr on our time when we come on air. We'll speak together. We'll pray together and things because this is fresh manna in the wilderness. When jobs and things try to block you from keeping from the house of the Lord, God has provided a voice in the wilderness for you, and think that you can always be blessed, and that God will bless you and things, and sustain and keep you. So we're going to join in. We're going to get ready to close in prayer. And I pray that you have been blessed on tonight through words of encouragement and empowerment. God's sustaining power. He will sustain you through his sovereign will. He is going to sustain. So don't you fret. And don't you become perplexed in your mind and your spirit. Continue to render a praise up before God, and God is going to bless you as he birthed forth his will in your life, even on today. Let us go together. Whatever you believe in God for today, it may be healing in your body. It may be a door that needs to be open. You may just need someone to touch and agree with you on tonight that the thing that God is, you're asking God to open that door and asking God to work things out on your behalf. I just come to tell you on tonight that I want to touch and agree with you and to believe God that God is going to work it out. Cancer is not above the name of Jesus. Diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, hypertension, it all has to bow to the name of Jesus. Yes, even that one that walked out on you, all of it, abandonment, has to even bow, and rejection has to bow to the name of Jesus. And I'll come to right now to come in agreement with you on tonight. Let's go to the throne room of God. Gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we come and touch and agree. And Lord, I agree with your children on tonight according to your sovereign will, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you, Lord, will just open that door. Bring forth that money, O God, in the name of Jesus. Even that back pain that they've been suffering, O God, the last 3 days, that you will bring a relief and total healing, oh God, in their life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you can. We know that you will, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bring peace back into that home in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we take this time to bind the devil and bind confusion and loose your sovereign will right now in the name of Jesus. Let your will be done, which is in heaven. Let it be done even in earth, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we come and ask your will to be done and your kingdom to come, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let your holy will be done. Undergird your child. Fortify and strengthen them. Give them the faith and the tenacity and the confidence to speak your word in spite of what they feel and what they see. Let them recognize that you're doing all things and working all things out for their good because they love you, and that, Lord, no weapon formed against them is going to prosper in their line. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, bring that child back home. Lord, bring harmony back in that family and peace in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, we'll praise your name. Oh, God, we'll give you the glory and the honor. We recognize you're good. We recognize you're kind. We recognize you control everything. And we put our confidence and our faith in you, oh God, on this night. Lord, you said in your word that you're able to keep that which we commit into your hand against that day. And whatever day that your child is facing on today, even tomorrow, they are going to commit it in your hand against that day. And, oh, God, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. I pray that you have been blessed on today. And I'm so glad that you have joined us here at home on today. Helen Arms, ministry of empowerment. And I pray that you have been blessed and that you have been encouraged and that you will be undergird and fortify and sustain throughout this lifetime. God's going to do it. You are going to see the manifestation of God in a way. And I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I just feel the urgency to speak to someone tonight. But you are going to see the manifestation of God this year in a way that you have never seen before. You're going to see God flow through your life in such a profound way that all would know that this is the hand of the Lord. You're going to speak to people, and you may be just be thinking that you're just saying these words, but you are really speaking words of rhema into the life of God's people. I want to encourage you, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as you stay in prayer and as you stay in your word and your Bible and things and cultivating that relationship with God, that God is going to do some profound things in your life and things even this year. Last year was a hard year for you. You have gone through many things, and you have seen many things be taken away from you even in that year. But God said that some of the things that he had to take away from you in that year were served as a distraction, and that you were not able to hear and receive all of the things that God was doing in your life. But God used those hard things in year 07 to move those things out of your life. They were like chaff in things in your life, and the wind was just going to blow them, all those things, out of your life so that you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in your life. You've lost a lot of things, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that this is the year that you're going to start recovering things in your life. Things are going to start coming back to you, and you're going to start seeing the hand of the Lord being brought, things being brought back unto you and things. And because you're going to be so involved in ministry and the things in the house of the Lord, you're going to sit down one day and you're going to recognize and see all of the things that God has redeemed back into your hand and back into your life. So take courage, child of God, and be thou encouraged. God is redeeming things in your life this year. You're going to see God move in such a profound way, a way that you've never seen before. You're going to see the handiwork of God. And so I want you to be in here. Don't stop praying. Stay in prayer. Stay in the house of the Lord. I hear God saying, stay in the house of the Lord. Because as you stay in the house of the Lord, you are going to see God move in the mighty and the special way as never before. As you find yourself praying and calling on the name of the Lord, you need to go back to that prayer meeting that you stopped going to, and things, because that's where God was meeting, and that's where God calls you as an intercessor, as you stand in the gap. But because you've been hurt, you kind of move back. But God said, no, I called you there. That's your place. And God needs you to stand in the gap as never before and things, because God is looking for gap dwellers, and he's called you to dwell in that gap. So be encouraged. Be encouraged as we pray one for another. God is going to do something phenomenal in your life. I will look forward to meeting back with you again as we converse together and commune together. But God is going to bring forth another word of the Lord from you. So tune in again to the word of empowerment from home, from my home to your home. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just a prayer away from it. All you have to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So I encourage you, go back and ask again. Go back and knock again, and keep on seeking. God is going to do it for you. Even this week, you're going to see the hand of the Lord move in a mighty and a special way. This too will pass. May God bless you. I love you. And may you be blessed on this evening until we meet again. May God bless you is my prayer. Amen.